Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on this very special Saturday morning. We are going to be talking with one of the legends of an era in comedy that may never come again. This wonderful era that brought people to the Catskills and the Ed Sullivan Show, and in this particular case, the Jackie Gleason Show. It was that time before comedy radically changed in the 1970s, thanks to people like George Carlin and Richard Pryor. But comedy was already a huge factor in American cultural society. And you had normal, quote-unquote, comedians, and then the ethnic comedians, and people who sort of straddled the line between the two. Well, joining us by phone this morning is one of the living legends of that era in comedy. He was born Pasquale Caputo in Brooklyn, New York, and maybe that explains why he still, to this day, hollers everything, but he hollers it in a funny and dynamic way. This man has more energy, not only than I do, but if you put me in a room with seven other people, he would still have more energy than the seven of us combined. And so I welcome to the neighborhood Pat Cooper.
That's been my success, if you want to call it that. Other than that, I'm still here. I'll be 82 in July, so I'm still pumping oil, thank God. What more can I tell you, Dave?
Well, God willing, I hope you do make 82 and 92 and 102, Pat Cooper. I'm wondering, you mentioned music as being, you have a jazz kind of style in the way that you present comedy. Did you really sense a musical influence when you were developing your comedy style?
Style is everything. If you don't have style up there, or I try to, I don't know if I'm misinterpreting you, but a rhythm, there's a thing called a comedic rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that today. Milton Berle had it, Henry Youngman had it, Fat Jackie Leonard had it, Don Rickles has it. You don't see that no more, and for some reason, I don't know why, but then I see a lot of comics who are just content to stand up and do their hour, half hour, and just go home. Years ago, if I didn't get a laugh in 2 seconds, I was ready to quit show business.
Of course, because you lived and died on every punchline. I'm sorry if I'm shouting, folks, but Mr. Cooper is a little bit of hard of hearing, so do bear with me. I want him to make sure that he hears the questions that
I'm... $40,000 in hearing aids. I still can't hear you.
Well, has that been a problem since you still perform all the time?
Well, you don't let anything like that, put you to sleep. What you do is you ignore it and you go about your life. Every once in a while, I got days I hear perfectly. Then there are days I don't hear too good. But when I'm on the stage, I'm okay. I'm in a real character. I go out, do my job. I know where the laugh should be and shouldn't be. And then when I go on a tirade, sometimes there's more fun. Then when I come off the stage, I tell people, what did I say?
And do you have tirades in real life, or do you save it for the stage?
I am a walking tirade.
Okay,
such energy that people don't know if I'm a sick human being or if I'm over healthy. I have an energy that my parents, till today before they passed away, don't know where I came from, because no one in the DNA of my family has my energy.
No one in the DNA of history has your energy, Pat. It's rather amazing. Did that style develop? Like, when you were first starting out as a comedian, were you ranting already? Did you have that rhythm? Or were you more
No. What happens was I liked it, but never got any help from family. There was no talent in my parents or my sisters. There was no talent, so whatever I used to get out on a little bit of a tirade that they thought was a tirade was called talent today.
Okay.
If I was a Jewish kid, the people would have said another Milton Berle, because in an Italian family, we were not known for comedy many years ago.
Right. Were there any...
If you sang off key, your father said you were another Caruso.
Well, let me ask, were there any Italian comedians that you looked up to and that served as role models at some point?
I had problems with my own culture. When I came out with my hit album, they thought I was making fun of the Italians, which was so ridiculous. What I was trying to do was let them know that we had a sense of humor, which was unheard of, that an Italian had a sense of humor years ago.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Were there any mentors of yours in comedy or performance?
Anyone that stood up in a comedy routine. I used to go to the theaters. Mm-hmm. I cut school. I'd go up and down Broadway and watch all the comics that were working the theaters. We don't have that anymore today. I turned around and said, geez, I am like that guy that I'm watching on the stage. And why does my parents think that I'm not funny or that I don't have any kind of a comedic rhythm? My father wanted me to be a bricklayer. And if I wasn't a bricklayer, I didn't exist.
Well, you were a bricklayer for a period. You actually did that job.
I was, but I went on the wall. That don't mean I was a bricklayer.
Right.
I went on the wall, and anything I laid down was so crooked, you're going to come outside. You didn't need the steps.
Oh, man. What other jobs did you have before you made comedy your full-time business?
I was a cab driver, a furrier. I was a bricklayer. I was a delivery man. I had to go to work. After school, I had to have a part-time job, or my father and mother, they wanted to know why. If you wanted to go to the movies, go out and earn 11 cents, which was the price of the movies when I was a kid.
Wow.
And they don't let you know you're responsible for you. We're not responsible for you.
When
I was 11 years old, my father said, when are you going to get your own apartment?
Really, or is that a joke?
Today that's called child abuse. Well. Years ago, it was called raising your children.
So did you finish high school?
No, I'm lucky I went to school at all.
Wow.
I got 1 week high school. I didn't go that week.
But was it because you were so busy working and trying to do comedy, or you just weren't a good student?
It was my release. I had more fun driving a cab because I was one-on-one with the passengers, and I would tell stories. I would do like I was doing a stand-up driving a cab, and I got better and better, and I couldn't wait to get into that cab.
Wow.
I made less money driving a cab, but I was a happier human being.
Well, that's the most important thing. Do you remember your first gig, your first stand?
Yes.
What? Yeah.
Yes. My first gig was in a wedding, and they told me to leave.
Really?
Because as a joke, I said to the bride, you know, I've been going out with your husband for years.
Oh.
And they took offense, and they asked me to leave.
Well, did anybody laugh, or did the joke just bomb?
No, but no. I was told very nicely, get up and get out of here.
What about
was considered an ad-lib today.
Oh, well, yeah.
They took me serious. They didn't have, because they never saw a comic who had a sense of humor.
Now, this was, when you first started to it, was that the early 50s? Are we putting this around what?
I did things that nobody had the nerve to do. I would work, I would go to a bar on the corner from my house, and I'd get up in front of the bar and do 5-6 minutes, and hopefully somebody would give me a couple of bucks or give me a half an hour just to earn movie money.
Wow.
And my father found out. My father wanted to kill me because he thought I was an exhibitionist. He didn't understand you going in front of a bar making a fool of yourself.
Was there a point when your parents then understood when you reached some level of success and they said, aha, you know, you know exactly what you're doing.
Listen to me.
Okay.
Being an Italian in my era, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you went to work. Saturday, you went shopping. Sunday, you ate macaroni. And Monday, you went back to work again. And my father would always say, don't get too cocky because one day you're going to die.
Are you sure he wasn't Jewish? No, but
No. My father, the cement was hard when he was born.
Wow.
My father turned around when he said something, he didn't back off. He would say to me, why don't you die so we can take the land that you're standing on and give it to somebody who wants to go to work?
Oh, my God.
How's that grab you?
Was your mom nicer?
My mother hit me.
Oh.
My mother enjoyed, don't misinterpret, my mother was the hitter.
Wow.
Your father, just by staring at you, you would melt.
Right, okay, yeah, the fear was there without the violence, but...
That was not called violence in those days. That was called raising your family. Nobody went to jail for hitting their children.
Right, of course.
I got hit in school. The teachers used to hit me in school.
On the reel?
You know what my father would say? Why did she kill him?
God.
Because my father would say, this teacher is trying to make a stupid man like you intelligent. You respect her. If you don't respect her, I'll hit you.
Wow. Did you go to the schools beneath high school? Were they religious schools or just PS?
No. My father used to say to me, go to confession and tell God what a skunk you are. I said, why did you go? He said, I don't tell my business to nobody.
We're talking with Pat Cooper here, who's, as you can see, still has every ounce of energy that he must have had starting out as a comedian 50, 60 years ago. Do you have a regimen of exercise? How do you keep yourself healthy, or do you eat the same way you did 50, 60, 70 years ago?
No, I'm a different guy. I get better, I believe. If I didn't get better, I would quit.
Well, no, but I'm saying, do you...
I'm approaching 82 years old.
Right.
I'm up to date. I worked Friday in Eastern Pennsylvania. I put 1,100 people in the theater, and I think the whole town showed up.
Well,
so I still got a fan base. I got a book. I don't know if you heard about that.
Of course. It's How Dare You Say How Dare Me.
I got reviews on this thing. I couldn't do it if I was Hemingway. I couldn't write a better review. I got a review in South Africa, and I don't know anybody in South Africa. I don't know anybody in South Brooklyn.
but
a 5-star review, a 4-star review, and I'm telling you now, and I didn't do it for the money. I did it because I wanted to write a great story, or I wouldn't put my pen to the page. And I'm going to tell you something, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best book out there for show business. A lot of laughs, a lot of sadness, a lot of truth. And the truth today is dangerous, as you know.
Well, what are some of the sad and unpleasant truths that you're getting across in your new book?
I changed my name because I couldn't get a job as Pasquale Caputo. And my father went ape.
Hmm.
My father wanted to strangle me.
Well, I understand.
I tried to explain to him I was having trouble with the taxes because I was working under Pat Cooper and paying taxes under Pasquale Caputo. And my lawyer says, you've got to either change your name or stick with your regular name. But at that time, it was too late. I was already known as Pat Cooper, so that's what I did. I changed my name legally. And my father and I never had a relationship after that.
Oh, wow. If you were starting out today, would you have kept your real name?
I used it at first. I used it, and here he is, Pasquale Caputo. People laughed at the name, and it didn't have a right feeling for me.
Okay. So.
And I remember all the great Jewish comics changed their name.
Sure. They kind of had to.
And then my brother, Frank Sinatra, didn't change his name, so I opened my big mouth. I said, Tony Bennett did, and Dean Martin did. How's that grab you?
Now, you've worked with people like Sinatra and Tony Bennett. Do you have any great stories or anecdotes about being on stage?
Well, you got to understand that when you're working with what they call a superstar, he is only or she is only a human being. And if they don't treat me like a human being, I took a powder.
Well,
I refuse to be abused. Mm-hmm. I refuse to have my dignity taken away from me because that's all I own.
Well,
Frank Sinatra asked me one time to take something out of my act. I said, Frank, I don't tell you what songs to sing. Don't tell me how to be a comedian.
No one
ever said that to him, and there were 4 people in the dressing room.
Oh, my God.
And he looked at me, didn't know what to say to me. The only good thing about that, we became good friends, but I never worked with him again. Never.
Oh, wow. Well, but you became good friends, so at least you were able to put, you know, that aside.
Well, because you have to be his comic. I'm nobody's comic. I'm my own man.
Huh.
I could have been bigger than I am today, but I didn't give up my dignity.
Well, I don't imagine how you could be bigger than you are today. You're pretty big, but...
Well, you got Don Rickles, and you got, all these big guys today, Bill Cosby. I don't say they gave up their dignity, but I did something none of them would have the nerve to do. I called it the way it was. I said what was on my mind. And if they didn't like it, I says, well, then I can't work with you. And I left. Because I don't know how many minutes I had left in my life. Why should I have people push me around? I despise bullies.
Oh, me too.
And I got ripped off by some of the biggest gangsters in the business. They don't have my dignity.
Good point.
And that would kill them.
Were there any other well-known celebrity people who treated you either really wonderfully or really badly?
Yes.
Who?
Yes.
Who?
Ella Fitzgerald, Nat King Cole.
Ah.
I mean, people like that. I can tell you, all the guys, Al Martinos and Lou Montes, and one of the greatest guys I ever worked with, Sergio Franchi, who I loved and adored. I mean, Peggy Lee was one of the nicest ladies. Rosemary Clooney. I mean, give me a break. Vic Damone, guys like that. We were just had great rhythm. Wherever we worked, we packed them in and we respected each other as human beings. I knew my place as an opening act. Nobody had to tell me how much time to do. I knew my place. And everybody said that this guy worked with every performer in the business because he knew his place and he was a gentleman. And I live by that today, and I'm going to be 82.
Well, that brings me back to the question I was asking before. Do you do exercise? Do you eat right
no,
or wrong?
No.
I did.
When I laid brick for 12 years, I did bends maybe $200,000 in my lifetime. That was the first and last exercise I ever did, and I'll never do another one. I barely bent down to pick up paper.
Well, do you
and
feel...
If there was a $100 bill, I would walk past it. I ain't bending down for nobody at my age.
Well, do you feel yourself physically slowing down? Obviously, mentally and verbally.
I am now 195 pounds. I'm 6'2", and I'm cute. I was never handsome, but I have curls.
Let me ask, do you have, and I don't want to get into some of the dark side stuff with your family, but are you dating? Are you living with someone? Do you have...
No. My sex life is over.
Oh.
I was married 44 years to the greatest woman that ever lived. A woman that told me to be a better man. A woman that thought I walked on water. I tried in the bathtub, but I fell. I have no aspirations to go out and start another series of women. My days are over. I had the best for 44 years. I cannot go any further, but just to respect women that I take out to dinner. Now, one woman said to me, "You want to go to bed with me?" I said, "If I go to bed with you, I'm going to go to sleep."
Well, yeah. Well, there's cuddling, you know. You don't have to do everything.
I don't cuddle no more because it's out of my lifestyle. I just want to take people out to dinner, have a nice time, and go home.
I'm 47.
Because it's over.
I'm 47. I already know how you feel.
Did you ever hear of the, I don't mean this disrespectful, did you ever hear of the word erectional dysfunction?
I've heard of it, yes.
I was born with it.
Oh, my. Pat Cooper, confessing to erectile dysfunction here on Dave's Gone By. Now, can I ask one of the questions that the publicist for you and for your new book, How Dare You Say How Dare Me, from Square One Publishers, he came up with a few preset questions that might be fun to ask and save me the work of having to think of them. So one of them is, you turned down a part in a Martin Scorsese film, Casino. Why?
Because the man handed me a bone, and I refused to accept a bone from him. And the reason he handed me a bone was because I did his 50th birthday, and it was my pleasure to do it, and I never saw him after I did the birthday until his office called me about 6 months later and said, "Martin wants you in Casino." I went down to read for the part. I was in Vegas at the time where they were filming. I read the part, and I said, "I thank you. This is not for me, Martin." And I went away because I'm a name performer. How dare you give me a stupid part like this? How dare you not give me a better part with my name value that I've worked all these years to become popular, and you're giving me a goodbye part? And maybe this damn thing may not even make the screen. That's how bad the part was. I don't think the part was 30 seconds on the screen.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
and I said to no disrespect, but you threw me a bone and I ain't catching it. I don't give a damn who you are.
Oh, okay. And so obviously you don't regret this. I mean, it would have been working.
Wait a minute. Everybody says you're not going to get another movie because of that. I did two movies with Robert De Niro, but at least they gave me a decent part.
Okay. Okay, I mean,
that's
I get
your answer. When you sit by your dignity, you're going to win the battle.
True, but I don't think Scorsese meant to disrespect you, obviously. He probably
Mr. Scorsese didn't disrespect me. Mr. Scorsese was used to everybody kissing his butt because he's Martin Scorsese. What Martin Scorsese forgot was when he was growing up, he was like Pat Cooper, looking for a job, looking for to make a name for himself.
True.
So why would he step on my toes? At my career, I was making big money. I didn't need his job in casino, and I wasn't flattered.
Oh.
I didn't know I was a good actor, but the part he gave me, you might as well give it to someone who couldn't talk. You were better off if you got someone who was a pantomime.
Wow. Okay. Well, that certainly explains that decision. On to a happier thing. Your big break as a comedian, I guess you most people would agree, was getting on the Jackie Gleason show.
Right.
Did you realize it like the night it happened? Did you know, aha, that you know, my career is going to go from here to there overnight?
There was no overnight. You know that's a fallacy. I worked a lot of years. I took a lot of mental beatings, and I stood by my talent. I had two children who I lost. I don't have those children no more. That's in the book. You know, it's a sad scenario when you're dealing with ex relatives that just wanted to torture you because of the jealousy that you made something of yourself.
Well,
that's a sad story. That's very sad. And my ex-wife always said to me, "These are my kids. And she said it once too many, and I said, "They're your kids." I haven't seen my son over 40 years, and I haven't seen my daughter over 35 years.
Yeah,
something, the sad part, I don't miss them. That's the sad part.
That is very sad.
Because they cannot take my dignity. I don't give a damn if they were my kids or not. How dare they do this to me? When I try to make a name for myself, that they will be the only ones that are going to benefit.
If people don't know what Pat is mentioning right now, first of all, when he said he lost his children, God forbid, they're not dead. They're alive.
Said,
they're just estranged.
I got grandkids I'll never see, but that's okay. I'm responsible for walking away. I take responsibility. Everybody
right.
says, "Well, they're your children." I says, "Yes, but I'm not going to be tortured and shove them down my throat. They're not my children then. They're her children. Now they're there. That's okay." So what did they gain? Tell me, what did they gain? So they gained anger and they gained hate. So there's your answer. And that's all in the book.
Yeah, I'm just, you said such wonderful things about your late wife. It's so weird. Or was this?
They don't make them like that no more. I got lucky a second time.
Oh.
That woman was a saint.
I
married a saint.
Right.
And then my ex-family called her a whore. Why does that grab you? That's the kind of people I was dealing with. So there's your answer. What am I going to do? I went on. I still go on with my life. I lost a lovely lady. I had great, great memories, and that's all I want to remember is the great memories with this woman.
So you don't see...
I got a daughter with her. I got two grandchildren. I'm a happy man.
Well, that's... Thank God. That's good. That's. Are you religious, by the way? Are you still... Do you dabble in Catholicism, or are you secular?
Am I particular?
Secular. In other words, are you a good Catholic in any sense of the word?
No. I'm the worst.
Okay.
I'm the worst because I don't believe what the priests tell me. I'll never believe it, and I will never believe it.
Okay.
And my father, believe it or not, said to me, "Be very careful because these are human beings. And one day you're going to see a scandal with this, and it's happened already." He predicted it 20, 30 years ago. He said, "If you're a good person, you don't have to go to church. Don't be a hypocrite. If you're a good person, you have to get on your knees and tell the priest in the confessional that you stole something or that you did. You know what's right and wrong. You don't need the cops to tell you what's right and wrong. You know what's right and wrong. So be a man. And if you're not a man, jump out of a window because you don't deserve to be on this planet." That's how they raised you years ago.
Right. Wow. So what is a typical day these days for Pat Cooper, assuming you work several days a week, and then you just go have dinner with friends, and that's basically your day?
Well, I take a job that I know I can bring people, and I will not take a job, take the money, and run. I've never done that. If I can't pack a room, at least make the boss make money, I will not take the job.
Okay.
My hobby is I cook, and I give it away. That's my hobby.
You like making...
And I got friends that I go out to dinner with, and I got people like you that are very nice, so let me get on the air and be myself, because a lot of people that get on the air don't tell things that I say. And people want to hear that from a person. People who got their own problems want to hear that you have problems, and you fought it. You fought your problems, and you're still out there, and you're still trying. I tell young kids to read my book, and don't let nobody say you can't do it. This is the greatest country in the world. I remember this country. We had no army, no navy, no nothing, and we knocked the enemy on its butt.
That's right.
This is the greatest country in the world, bar none, with all our problems, bar none. That's what it's all about.
Do you, how difficult or easy or necessary is it for you to keep your act, your material, topical? Do you have to watch the news? Do you have to...
I am so funny that it comes out natural. I'm a gifted man.
Yes.
And the proof of the pudding, here's the proof of the pudding. You play this tape back, and you'll see where my brains are. I am a very fast, quick-witted man that comes natural. I got a lot of beans because of it, but you know something? It's the best thing that ever happened to a man. I did what I want to do, and I'm a very happy man. I'm very grateful. And that's not con job. That's a fact.
Well, life has been pretty good to you. You should be grateful for the things that you got. And I'm kind of wondering, I always hesitate asking comedians this, but... who are the people that you find funny these days?
Who do I think is funny these days?
Yeah.
Well, anyone that I think that gets up and does stand-up, I think has a great chance because they have a great sense of humor. Some people are funnier than others. We have today in our business mechanical comics who can't ad-lib a gas pain. Then we have natural comics who can walk out there and go on a tirade and do 20, 30 minutes off the top of the head. I am known as the best roaster in the Friars Club. I'm the only one that closes the last 15 or 20. Nobody has that spot. I have no writers. I go in front of the microphone and off the top of my head. And the proof of the pudding is there all those things that I did were taped. And there isn't one comic, big or small, can come alongside what I do at a roast.
Well, yeah.
That's my speech for today.
Well, it's been absolutely delightful hearing Pat Cooper speak. Everybody, first of all, please get his new book, How Dare You Say, How Dare Me, his autobiography by Square, published by Square.
Listen to me. They can get it in the bookstores or on Amazon. I swear to you, Dave, and you know I don't lie. I don't have no reason to lie. It's the best book out there if you want to know the truth about show business. I'll give you the truth. And I'll tell you, people who stood up to the big names in a respectful manner to let them know you don't do that to me. You will not do that to me because you wouldn't want that done to your children. And when you tell those people that, they back off, but they're scared of you. And anybody that's scared of the truth ought to stay in the closet.
Huh. Well,
and that's another thing.
Yeah.
That's another thing. Everybody's coming out of the closet. When I was growing up, we had no closets to come out of.
Well, no, unfortunately for people back then, everything, I guess, was sort of out in the open. Well, maybe not.
It's very good to be open and honest and be what you are. And I think it's healthy, and I'm for everybody being what they want to be. If two guys want to dance with each other, God bless them. If I danced with a man, my father would have killed me 35, 40 years ago.
Oh.
But I got news here. There were better men I could dance with than women years ago.
can I ask, I think I'll know the answer to this one, but... your thoughts on political correctness. Is there way too much of it?
I don't even know if there's anything political correct or bad or right. I wrote a book about my feelings, about what happened, and I wrote an honorable book.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally, you're going to get people out there who don't like it. That's too bad. You know, wait, listen, I don't understand the state of New York getting rid of school teachers. who are the most underpaid people in the world.
True.
I can't understand what's going on with our society and pay a football player $50 million. I can't understand that when the teachers are more important. That's politically correct.
Well, yeah, that's politically... Nobody's going to really argue with you on that. That's not politically incorrect to say. I mean, that's...
Well, what's wrong with our society when we got to get those teachers and people who help our children to become intelligent? Now we got the computer doing it for all of us, and we don't even want to think no more.
Do you have a computer? Do you email? Do you...
No, I don't have a computer. I barely have a telephone. I barely have a telephone that I'm talking to you. I'm not an electrical kind of guy. I don't eat an ale. I don't Twitter, Fitter, Pitter, or hit it. I don't have a Facebook because I don't want nobody looking at my face when I'm not looking.
Oh, my goodness. Let me ask Pat Cooper in our final moments together. And first of all, thank you so much for being so alive.
Well, Danny, I love you. I respect you. I thank you for putting me on. This is very important because it gives me a chance to advertise that I got a hell of a book out and to let people hear my honesty on your station. Have a good day and not too much snow.